And now back to Dr. Michael Royson, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galewski on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip in about 15 minutes for the hour. Stick around for that. udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. What can farming teach a family doctor about the art and science of medicine? Dr. Daphne Miller left her practice for a bit, traveled to some innovative family farms around the country, and looking to discover the hidden connections between how we care for our bodies and how we grow our food. Her book is called Pharmacology, What Innovative Family Farming Can Teach Us About Health and Healing. It's published by William Morrow. That's a division of HarperCollins. Well, thanks for coming on. It's kind of interesting. Before I send you to Dr. Mike, you wanted to find out how good farming teaches us about nurturing ourselves. Good farming is, what is good farming as opposed to bad farming?
Oh, that's a great question. And good farming is farming that actually treats the land very much the way that we would nurture our bodies if we were taking good care of our bodies. And that's actually what I discovered. But good farming is sustainable farming. It's farming that preserves the soil and all the microbes in the soil and returns the nutrients that you take from the soil back to it in the form of organic matter so that you can grow healthy food and healthy animals and healthy people.
Is most farming done that way in this country?
Sadly, no. Most farming in this country is not done that way. Most farming in this country is done with a lot of external chemicals and fertilizers and pesticides and with churning up the soil and using seeds that are not well-intended for that land and without conserving water and all those things. I think that's what we would probably call industrial farming. And much of our food in this country is produced through bad farming.
All right, let's get into
that. That's not the kind of farming I went to learn from.
Right, okay, we'll find out. Let's find out more about what you learned in pharmacology and more of the book and the topic. And here's Dr. Mike.
You know, Daphne, thank you for being on. And I've got to tell you, there's a picture on the cover of the book of a carrot, which is probably the most sexually suggestive carrot I've ever seen.
It's also supposed to look like one of those old medicine poles, you know.
Is that what it is?
So, it's sort of different things to different people.
Some people see it as
connectivity.
We should tell people so that you should get the book. It's a wonderfully written book. But it is, and it's not a, it's a fun book to read, not a didactic book. So the lessons are subtle rather than hit you in the face. But
they seep in.
But this is two carrots intertwined, I suppose you'd say. Now one of the stories I loved was it starts out with this crazy picture about the Garden of Happiness. Talk to us about the Garden of Happiness.
Well, each chapter in the book takes place on a really different kind of family farm in a different part of the country. And the one you're referring to takes place in the Bronx. And it's actually it's a farm that's made up of many community gardens, but the gardeners there consider themselves a farm. It's part of La Familia Verde Farming Network. And I went there specifically because I was really curious to see the role that urban farming plays in the health of a community. And while I was there, I made some interesting discoveries.
Well, now I'm going to make you tell us some of them. But one of them you told us about a guy who moved from, I think it was South Carolina. This is problematic. I read it 2 days ago. So this is a guy who moved from someplace in the South on a farm to the Bronx, vowing never to go back to a farm. And then he went back to a farm. And you talk about all the lessons from it.
Yeah, well, it was very interesting because he was an elderly man and he'd had another job and he'd gone to college. And when he was young, he grew up on a farm and worked really hard, you know, backbreaking labor on the farm. And so when he left his farm in South Carolina to come and move to New York City and go to college and become a professional, he said, "I will never go back to the farm." And then as he got older and he was living in the Bronx, he started to discover that these community gardens were a wonderful way for him to connect back with his community. And as he went out and started gardening or farming again, he realized that he had these terrific skills, these farming skills, things that he had not thought were very valuable when he was a young man heading off to college. But now all these other people in his community were wanting to learn from him. How do you grow those carrots? What do you do to make your beans so look so lively? And it was a way for him to pass knowledge on to other members of the community, both young and old. And he also realized that it was like going to the gym every day. Here he could go outside, dig in the dirt, and get really physically fit. And he didn't have to pay for a gym membership, didn't have to be stuck indoors. And he had delicious food at the end of the day, so it had that benefit as well. And that's just one of the many health benefits that I saw of urban farming that was not necessarily directly related to the nutrients in the food, but was some other kickback that you got for being outside and in the garden.
So, in fact, he got a number of kickbacks, as you describe, but one is he was regarded as a wise elder statesman, so he got that, if you will, the ability to connect with others and be regarded as and have respect. Second, he got to talk with a lot of people. Third, he got the physical activity. So he got stress relief, he got physical activity, he got a lot of benefits from it.
Yeah, and actually there's an interesting study that came out not long ago looking at elderly people who do this kind of skills, with their hands, where they're balancing on one foot as they're mastering the hoe and sort of planning all these different things in the garden, that it actually has a mental or cognitive benefit as well. So it turns out that gardening is also a dementia fighter.
That's correct. The dementia fighting capabilities, let's go to another subject if I can, rather than going to this, because I think it's such an interesting story about all the benefits of this urban farm. When we went, we started a farmer's market back in 2007 in the Cleveland Clinic, or 2008, I can't remember which year, but we were told how poorly they did on hospital grounds, and we did a whole bunch of things to encourage them. But one of the things we did, which you say is also done at that farm, was in fact collect or allow the farmers learn how to take SNAP and WIC tickets, which is now more common, but didn't used to be done in that era. The other component we did is we tried to turn, and we turned two of our old parking lots that were ground parking lots, reconditioned the land and put them into farms for a couple of the under or unemployed people in the neighborhood after they went to Ohio State Extension to learn how to farm. And one of the things that was amazing to me is how expensive it is to recondition land once it's contaminated.
Oh, so yeah, it sounds like what you did was actually pull up the tarmac. In a lot of farming areas, what they'll do in the city is actually just build boxes and bring in soil so that they can circumvent that problem. Although I have to say, I was amazed because there was another farm that's the farm that I opened the chapter with. It's called the Finca del Sur, and it's a little further down south in the Bronx as compared to the La Familia network. And they just recently took over that land and started to farm, and it's got Grand Concourse on one side, it's got Metro North on the other, and it's got highway and subway coming, and subway vents coming right through it. So you would think that this would be a nasty piece of urban land to farm on. And when they came in and did soil testing, they actually found that the soil was shockingly healthy.
When we come back, we're going to talk more about pharmacology, pharmacology, by Daphne Miller. Joe?
All right, Dr. Mike, thank you very much. youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. Your emails for our guest or Dr. Mike anytime. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath.
Please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness.
It's time to take it
serious. Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath. Cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and need the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Joe Galuski and Dr. Deb Lonser, and starring Dr. Michael Roizen, M.D.
Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip, in about 5 minutes, Dr. Daphne Miller's book is called Pharmacology, What Innovative Family Farming Can Teach Us About Health and Healing. Pharmacology spelled with an F, not a P-H, F, pharmacology. Here again is Dr. Mike Roizen.
Daphne, now when we were talking about the quality of the land and the redoing urban farms, how expensive is it to test, for example, a garden that you want to grow in either as a community or a group to see if you can do this and get all the lessons?
Well, that's a great question, and I have to be honest, I haven't been asked that before. But from talking to farmers, my understanding is that it's actually not a cheap proposition, but it's cheaper than trying to test our own bodies. So cheaper than the human labs, not absolutely free. But, you know, in another chapter in pharmacology, the first chapter is actually an exploration of how a farmer's effort to rejuvenate his soil can teach us incredible lessons about rejuvenating ourselves. And it's a farmer who does precisely that. He does a lot of testing and then replacing of minerals in order to bring his land in Washington State up to what he would consider to be healthy soil. And he does this for several years, sending tests to the lab and then dumping minerals back into the soil. And he's realizing that his land isn't getting that much better, and his vegetables aren't looking that much better. And he's kind of starting to worry about all the minerals that he's dumping on there. And so he takes a totally different approach, where he starts to farm in this full cycle way, where he's putting the organic matter back into the soil and not over-tilling the land, and farming with animals who take using their manure to nourish the soil, and really trying to support all the microbes, the healthy bugs in the soil. And all of a sudden, his land starts to thrive and his vegetables start to thrive. And so he realizes that testing and replacing doesn't quite work. And as I'm with him, I realize that there are many times with my patients where there's the same issue that goes on, where we tend to sort of, people come in and they're fatigued and depleted, and we run a million tests, and we don't really come up with much, but we find, oh, they're missing a little vitamin D or a little bit of iron or this and that. And we tend to replace them with minerals and drugs and so on, just like this farmer was doing with the soil. And oftentimes, they too don't really get better. So in the chapter, I start to explore what happens to our bodies when we become part of a healthy farm cycle, when we start to eat the food from land that has been well-nourished. And I spend time with microbiologists and different kinds of scientists exploring this and find out that indeed, even though there's not a lot of research on it, when those kinds of healthy foods that have been exposed to healthy microbes starts to have a very positive influence on our health and our metabolism and our immunity as well. So we really can thrive by being part of a healthy farm cycle.
Bridget, do you have anything you'd like to, you look like you're burning for a question, so.
Yes, Dr. Miller, I loved the entire idea of your book. I think that it's amazing. And
we should say the book is Pharmacology with a F rather than a PH. So it's Pharmacology. It's on Amazon now. And the website is www.drdaphne.com.
And I love how you explored so many different things and then brought it all back to different things that your patients were struggling with. So I'm coming from my own personal interest in public health nutrition, which I'm getting my master's in currently. And I thought it was so interesting in part of your book that you talked about how gardening can increase people's consumption of fruits and vegetables way more efficiently than any major supermarket. And why, I think that you hit the nail right on the head, but from your own personal experience of being to all these farms and talking to so many people, like, why do you think that that is?
That's a wonderful question. And as you can tell from reading that chapter, that realization caught me off guard. Like, I had always assumed that, food deserts could be fixed by bringing in a bunch of supermarkets.
Yeah, exactly.
You look at the data, and it's not promising. And, I have a lot of different theories about why that could be the case. One of them is that supermarkets, even though they do have fruits and vegetables, they have all that other tempting stuff that's not good for us as well. The aisles of candy, the aisles of processed stuff, the chips, the checkout aisles, in the checkout area where you can, get your Snickers bar on the way out. And so what ends up happening is you might pick up a piece of kale or a bunch of carrots, but you're going to get all the other food that's going to sort of far outweigh it. And then I joke in the book, might even crush it in the bottom of the cart. And when you start to get involved with farms and see how food is grown and get it connected to the whole process, I think that even things that weren't interesting or appealing or delicious to you before become interesting because, A, they're fresher and tastier. I mean, a carrot that's directly from the earth tastes completely different from a carrot that's, been grown somewhere in the Midwest, sat in a packing crate, was shipped to somewhere else, repackaged, put in a bag, and finally made it to you, wherever you live, and really loses a lot of flavor along the way. And also those foods that were meant for transportation and commercial use tend to be grown from a seed that's less tasty. That's a whole other story. But I think the bottom line is that farming and gardening puts you really in contact with the earth in a very, very fundamental way. And we see that with children in schools as well. When children have gardens in their schools, they go home and start telling their parents about weird plants like sorrel that they want to eat. They start demanding daikon radishes. Kids that you couldn't even get to eat something green before.
Right. That's so true. I nanny for a family, and we go to this place in Maine, and they hate fruits and vegetables, but the place that we stay in Maine has a garden, and it's the only place that I ever see them eat fruits and vegetables. So all the things that you talked about were definitely true. So I was also curious, which was your favorite farm?
Oh, they were all, for me, amazing and eye-opening. And it's really hard for me to pinpoint one. I mean, the first one that I did my internship on was Jubilee, which was that biodynamic vegetable farm in Washington State where the farmer taught me about rejuvenation.
Dr. Daphne, we're going to have to cut it off here
okay. And
go to the tip of the week, the website, www.drdaphne.com. The book, Pharmacology, F-A-R-M-A, whatever the rest of it is, C-O-L-O-G-Y, Pharmacology, but it's with an F, not a P-H. Joe?
I don't know what to do, Mike. We're about ready to end the hour here. If you want to quickly, in 30 seconds, give us a quick tip.
Lose weight on a part-time diet. Part-time diets take time. You can't expect to lose 5 pounds in a week. You don't want to anyway. But part-time diets mean that you do it 2 days a week and eat regularly the rest of the week. It seems to work. We'll do it more next week. We'll get the full Real Age Tip of the Week next week.
And this is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products and you get a free gift. Famous D-Herbs all-natural all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.